darkness, principalities, high places, oh God, spiritual wickedness. Lord, is behind the scenes, working its way, Lord, against your kingdom, against your people, against your purpose, against them that only own the title deed. Oh God, we know, Father, that in this hour is a great hour of darkness. You said darkness upon the earth, gross darkness upon the people. That you declared, arise and shine for all of us. The glory of the Lord is risen upon this bride. Oh God, we pray that your glorious light of the gospel will come now and so enlighten our minds. That no matter what they're doing out there, Lord, we know what you're doing in here. We know that you are transforming us, transforming our minds, oh God, renewing it, Lord. Oh God, that we might have the mind of Christ, that we might think, might act, might judge, might walk, not in that which is good or that which is reasonable, but that which is spiritual. Pray that you bless this assembly, O God. Your hand would be upon it. That you would lift it up, O God, in your right hand in such a mighty way. May you keep it strong, O God. May you bless the shepherd, and may you bless the ones that are here, the different ministers. And Lord, our gathering, Lord, without you, we can do nothing. You're the great teacher, you're the great tutor, you're the great lesson tonight. And Lord, you know my heart, it's burdened, Lord. We realize that there's a deception in the hour. And we come out, Lord, looking for that one in a million. We're not coming for church, we're not coming for groups. We're coming for that elect of God. Hallelujah. We're coming looking for that, Lord, that final city. We're coming to that final place. Oh God, we know it will be the glory now. Now we come, Father, with expectation that you will do that which you promised to do. That you would meet with us under the shadow of your revealed word. Give us now the faith. Give us now the understanding. Give us now, O God, these words broken in such a manner that we can digest them, O God. In Jesus' name. God bless you. We're honored to be here with Brother Ronnie and his flock and also Brother Gresh. Pray that God will just do something, say something to inspire us all to live closer to him, to understand his divine purpose for us. If you have your Bible, I want to reserve my time as much as possible. I appreciate the grace and Brother Ronnie's family for their kindness. And thank God for having my family with me. It's really a joy to have them with us. Matthew chapter 24. And I'm going to speak the first part of this tonight. The second part will be Sunday morning. It will be the will of the Lord. Matthew 24 and John 14:6. It seems like they're two different thoughts. I believe they're one and the same. And Jesus said unto him, I am, John 14:6, verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Matthew 24, it's a lengthy reading. So let's just go ahead and start on the third verse. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, and disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? The three most major questions in all prophecy. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and lo, and shall deceive many. And Brother Bram said, that's the first seed. He said, what was he doing? He was breaking the seals. In Matthew 24, is that right? And they shall hear wars and rumors of wars. That's a red horse rider. They shall be troubled. These things must come to pass, and the end is not yet. Nations shall rise up against nation, kingdom, and against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence. The prophet begins to bring in that third seal. And earthquakes and divers places. And there are, though these are the beginning of sorrows to the Jews coming upon the world, and they shall deliver them up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, speaking to the Jews. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And here we see coming into the fifth seal, and also breaking into the sixth, which is tribulation. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophet, end time prophecy, many false prophet in the time of the true prophet.
Yes.
And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, they know better, because the message has been vindicated worldwide, they know better, so now it becomes iniquity. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. This is my text for tonight and for Sunday, Lord willing. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I'd like to speak on this gospel, just a couple thoughts as quickly as we can, and I just want to respect the time, so maybe for the money or whatever, Adrian will just maybe 10 minutes before just give me a little sign, because it takes a little time to wind down. Then we can pick it up again. Now, quickly, if he's telling me that and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for witness and unto all nations, then shall the end come. Now, if there is in this gospel, there must be a that gospel. English just speaks that if there isn't this, it's because you are making a distinction between this and this. And one becomes this to you, the other one becomes that. There is a this and there is a that. Is that right? This same Jesus. Is that right? Because we know they have a that Jesus. And Paul said they preach another Jesus. Is that right? So therefore, if there is a this, there is a that. Now, what I want to show you, that even though Paul said they preach another Jesus and another gospel, Paul said it's really not another. It's just a perversion.
Yes.
Is that right? So really, when we talk about this gospel and that gospel, we are talking about the gospel that is broken up in dispensation.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
This gospel now compared to that gospel then.
Yes.
Okay? Now, to make it simple, I just want to give you an example. Can we put up 2 Timothy 1 and 10? In 2 Timothy 1 and 10, it says that there's not in my notes here. I thought you have your Bible, Lois. I'm sorry. In 2 Timothy 1:10, it says that Christ had come and that let me read it for you, because my memory is not the best now these days. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Come on.
Yes.
Come on. That's 2,000 years ago. You see how I know? Who had abolished death? That's what the sting, that's what he came to do. Take the sting of death.
Mm-hmm.
To abolish death. Come on. That's 2,000 years ago. That's the work of God. To abolish death. To destroy the work of the enemy. To destroy death. And have brought life and immortality to light.
Yes.
It means this is not the work of redemption. This is the revealing of life and immortality of that which he purchased.
Amen.
So this scripture comes 2,000 years apart.
Amen.
One is when he came to abolish death. The second is when he comes to bring life and immortality to light.
Amen.
In other words, he's bringing it to our understanding. He is revealing.
Yeah.
He's unveiling life and immortality. Remember, we thought life meant living a long time. But eternal life meant the quality of life. And he showed us the quality of life in the virtues. That this is what we want.
Amen.
I don't want to have a long, long life.
Yes.
I'm going to be filled with bitterness and hate and malice and strife.
Yes.
Who wants to live a long, long life with that?
Yes.
It's alright. It's the quality of life.
Amen.
And in this hour, to show you that in this hour, we didn't understand life because it was sealed in the book of life. Because they had eternal life for 2,000 years, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, did not mean they understood that life.
Mm-hmm.
I can give you something, you can enjoy it, doesn't mean you understand how it works.
Yeah.
Or what it really is. But in this day, we find that he comes to unveil life. That's why he can take a Bible and he can show you the different sections in the book of life. And he showed us Matthew 25. And in Matthew 25, he compared eternal life with a foolish virgin life. Is that
between the foolish version and the wise version of my life.
Amen.
One is not more sanctified than the other, and one is not more holy than the other. The, in fact, it was not the life that made the difference between the wise version and the foolish version.
Yes.
It was this word called revelation.
Amen.
It was revelation that separated Cain and Abel. Is that right?
Yeah.
And therefore, the prophet unveiling of life began to show us, amen, what is the evidence of this life? It was not holiness, because there's naturally holiness that lives cleaner than some of us.
Yeah. That's right.
In the foolish version, in the early days, the ministry was focused in getting you to live right, and they should.
Yeah.
And he said, if you live right, then you get revelation. Is that right?
Yeah.
But it works in a completely different manner. It is a comfort place to realize you can't live this life.
Yeah.
But if God gave you the life, it will have attributes of holiness.
Yeah.
To get you to the new birth.
Glory.
And in that birth, in that gene, in that seed, is a desire for holiness.
Glory.
And if it stays in the right atmosphere, it will break every shackle of unbelief and unrighteousness. See, so it was not becoming clean to get revelation.
Yes.
It is receiving the life.
That's right.
Amen.
Then God now can allow you to understand the things of God.
Yes.
So, in this, he brought life and he showed us in Matthew 25. Amen. The foolish virgin and the wise virgin. What was he doing? He was opening the book of life. Showing you the sections in the book. He take Mark chapter 4. I showed you the sower went forth to sow seed.
Mm.
One seed.
Amen.
The good seed.
Mm.
And he showed there were different kinds of ground.
Mm.
And he began to show you that the ground did not hate the seed. The ground didn't hate the seed. It just couldn't, it didn't have the strength to reproduce it.
Mm.
But the good ground was the predestinated ground.
Yeah.
That could produce the seed.
Yeah.
And he began to show you that in many places, your life, which is a good ground, come in contact with many people and you sow the seed. Sometimes your relative, your mommy, your daddy, your brother, your sister. They're not fighting against it. They just don't understand it. Sometimes you don't have an appetite for it. See? And it shows you that there are different class of people who will come up in the second resurrection, but they didn't have the strength to reproduce it. Doesn't mean they're lost.
That's right.
You see? They're just predestinated not. They don't have the strength to produce it. That's why I don't. Because people don't seem to understand the need of certain seeds.
That's right.
It just means they're not predestinated to bring forth the seeds. But in Matthew 13:24, you notice two men went to sow seed.
Yeah.
Two different kinds of seed.
Amen.
Is that right? Now that's the dangerous guy.
Amen.
You see? Because now you have the same ground but two seeds. And they're both reproducing of its own kind.
Yeah.
They look alike but they're not alike.
Yeah.
Is that right? Now that's the that's the seed of discrepancy. That's the guy you must watch. So he's comparing now, in Mark chapter 4, he's comparing eternal life, the predestinated seed, with humanity. In Matthew chapter 13:24, he's comparing eternal life with serpent seed. What is he doing? He's showing you the book of life. He takes the opening of the seal. The fifth seal shows you the souls under the altar and shows you that's not the bride. That's not them with eternal life. Amen. That's them that was killed by Stalin, Hitler, and Mussolini.
Yes.
Alright? For the testimony of Moses.
Yes.
For the law.
Yes.
He's showing you life. There's no other age could have done it. Jesus didn't do it.
Yeah.
Is that right? So this must be a dispensational scripture. Two parts. One lived out in the death of Christ,
yeah.
The next one lived out in the time of this Son of Man.
Yeah.
He brought life. And you can go on, you can take 144,000, compare it. What is he doing? It's the book of life he's revealing.
Yeah.
And then immortality. There was no age that understood the glorified body as we do. There's no age that understood that there were three kinds of body. Body terrestrial, 1 Corinthians 15. Body celestial, a theophanic body. Amen. I've showed you what kind of theophanic, how there are different kinds of theophanic bodies. Is that right? And a glorified body. And then shows you a body of the people living outside of the city. They that live outside the city have a different kind of body than they that are inside of the city. Is that right? Because they on the outside of the city is living on a seventh day condition. We are that in the city live on the eighth day condition. A glorified state. Amen. They outside of the city is Adam living in the day of the seventh day. Adam in the seventh day, his body was perfect. He would not have died. Is that right? But he must come in the midst of the tree of life all the time.
Yes.
Outside of the city. 8 days inside of the city. Showing you different kinds of body. Brother Brown is showing you that God has different kinds of theophany.
Amen.
The word theo, funny. Theo, God, different body, manifestation, funny. It can stand for God or body or manifestation. We have different kinds. He has what we call a supernatural theophany. Called a pillar of fire. It's not natural. It can come upon a bush and not consume the bush.
Amen.
That is what called Moses.
Yes, sir.
Is that right? Then he has the angelic theophany. Like the angel of the Lord that appeared to Moses in Exodus chapter 6 or 3. I think. A burning bush. Is that right? And he said the angel of the Lord appeared in a burning bush, and when he turned, Jehovah spoke to him. Is that right? God in angelic theophany. Or you could call it a supernatural body. Then you have natural theophany, like a whirlwind. That's a theophany. He uses nature to appear as a whirlwind. A natural theophany. Is that right? Then he uses a body like Genesis 18. Alright. Genesis 18 looks like a man. Just like a man's body in every way, except it does not have a soul. And the other two angels that appear with him, they don't have souls either. They don't have souls either. Because angels don't have souls. Is that right? They're just immortal beings, the prophet said. Okay, now, Genesis 18, God appears in the form. In the form of a man, but it was a unique man.
Yes.
Because Abraham said that was a theophany. But that theophany can eat and drink.
Yes.
Your theophany cannot eat and drink.
Yes.
It means it's a different kind of theophany.
Yes.
Your theophany has a soul. That theophany in Genesis 18 had no soul, because Melchizedek has no beginning, no end.
Yes.
If you have a soul, it shows you have a beginning. God has no soul to begin with. He was there as a supernatural spirit in the beginning. So Genesis 18, that man had no soul. Because if he had a soul, it would appear in the book of life. And it's appointed for man once. And he ended judgment.
Yes. Amen.
But you will never find that man appearing in the judgment.
Amen.
And you will never find that man in any book of life. If there is, it's because he is the beginning of the all life.
Amen.
So that's a different kind of theophany God used in Genesis 18. Who can bring these things to us? Why can I speak like this and you can believe like this? Because of this ministry of enlightenment. So therefore, there was a gospel that must propagate the abolishment of death.
Yes,
and there's a gospel that must come to bring life and immortality.
Amen.
Amen. Bring an understanding of life and immortality to them who will possess life and immortality.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And the only one who can do that is the one who took on himself the attributes.
Can we go to the book of First Timothy?
Oh, you got it there. First Timothy 1:17. On to the King. Eternal. It says eternal life.
Yes.
Unto the King eternal. And he is the King eternal and immortal. So he is the one who will bring it to light.
Right.
If prophet cannot bring it to light, he must receive it to reveal it. But it is him. He is the revealer.
Amen.
Amen. He doesn't reveal it to you directly. He reveals it to his mouth. And his mouth speaks it. Because he possessed eternal life and immortal life. He is the invisible. Man, Hebrews chapter 7. And 1. Thank you, brother. This is really helpful, isn't it? This is easy for everyone. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, that's Jerusalem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abram according to the stroke of the king's blessing, and a couple verses. To whom also Abram gave a tenth part of all. Why did Abram bring him fighting? He's the owner of it all. He owns it all. Notice, remember, Abram is paying him tithing, and we are paying him tithing now. Is that right? But when you get the title deed in your hand, you don't pay tithing. You own it. If the king's outside of it, he bring their tithing into you because you own title deed. Is that right?
Yes.
You, amen, you own title deed. Amen. Now it moves from your original owner, amen, to the heirs of salvation and the heirs of all things. He first came by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that, the king of Salem, which is king of peace, third verse. Without father, notice now, this is eternal, king eternal.
Mm-hmm.
Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, beginning of days passed with a soul. He has no soul. Is that right? The son, amen, started from thought to word to flesh. But this one was spirit to word to flesh.
Yeah.
Remember the journey the prophet taught us in Melchizedek? Alright? Alright. He says, no end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, image like unto him, abided a priest continually. Okay, he's the eternal priest of Psalms 110. Now, consider how great this man. Unto even the Abraham, even a tenth of the spoils. Okay, now, that's the one that changed Abraham's body. Is that right?
Yes.
That's the one who can discern the thoughts of the heart.
Yes.
Is that great? So in the time when life and immortality is to be revealed, King Eternal Immortal appears. Now I want to show you this. It could not have been 2,000 years ago in the Alpha ministry, because he did not appear in an immortal body. He appeared in a mortal type body that can die.
Yes.
Is that right? This means it did not happen in the day of Pentecost. He did not come in an immortal body.
Yes.
That body was sent on the throne.
Right.
He did not identify it even to the people, to the crowd, only to the elect. Only to the elect to testify that I will come again. Is that right? I will come again. A promise that will come again. So before his coming, there must be a time where he reveals himself that he is the eternal, the immortal, the invisible, even at the body of his body. Because if you don't believe that, your body cannot be changed.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Okay, now let's go back if you don't mind. Because what I'm trying to show you, that there are scriptures that are dispensational. So I'm going to put here this. I'm going to put here this gospel. My writing is terrible, isn't it? It's from America. This gospel, that gospel, simple. And then we're going to go back to John 14 and 6. John 14 6 says, say unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come on. I want to show you that that gospel, that way, truth, and life, was preached for 7 church ages. Because for 7 church ages, all that was happening, and I want to say all that was happening, was Ephesians 1:13. Put it. Ephesians 1:13 says, you didn't realize you were going to work so hard, huh? He himself, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. There's a gospel that was preached unto them for seven such ages, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed what? That gospel, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise which we call gene or seed or zoe. You were given zoe. So for there's a gospel that when it's preached to you, it's going to produce in a seal for eternal life.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
You're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Can you read the book of Hebrews?
Amen.
Which is the earnest.
Amen.
There's a gospel that can only bring the earnest.
Amen.
There's a gospel that they believed that only produced the earnest.
Amen.
That gospel can produce the earnest, even, but there must be a gospel that can produce the fullness.
That's right.
It says, which is the earnest, for seven church ages is earnest. For seven such ages, in the earnest of your inheritance, until conditional, until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the redemption, in other words, I put it in language you remember, until the season comes to claim, until there must be a claiming, then it moves from our owner engagement to marriage.
Yes.
Is that right?
Amen.
It moves from engagement to marriage. It moves from promise to fulfillment.
Amen.
Is that right? It moves from waiting. Is that right? From waiting to reality.
Yes.
Because we were waiting for something to happen.
Nice.
It says, we redemption and worship lesson unto the praise of the story. 15 verse. Wherefore I also, after I put up your faith in the Lord Jesus, I love unto all the saints. He shall to give thanks to you, making mention to you in my prayers. Something like that. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of. In other words, this gospel, that gospel 2,000 years ago, could not give them this. Paul is saying, you receive the earnest. You are sealed. But I know you're missing something. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give up. See, maybe they don't have it. They don't possess it. Yet they're the most mature church for their day. May give unto you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In other words, it's not going, it's going to move from His life, from the baptism of the Holy Ghost to the baptizer Himself.
Amen.
It's going to move even from the Holy Ghost baptism to the Holy Ghost Himself.
Yes.
And you can't have that without a prophet. That's what it is, Spirit. Isaiah 11 and 1. By the time I tell it, you will have it. I want to show you that this Spirit, and there shall come forth a run out of the stem of Jesse. How many know that the Son of Man 2,000 years ago? And the branch shall grow out of its roots. Okay, that's a ministry. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon, notice, it's a hymn scripture. It's a one-man scripture. See, one-man scripture, not on them, on Him. The Spirit of what? So if Paul is praying that the Spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him come, is that right? There must be a Him.
Yeah.
Is that right? To reveal that Spirit of wisdom and revelation, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. This happened in Jesus Alpha. Son of Man. There must be an Omega.
Amen.
Son of Man.
Amen.
So Paul is seeing that the church has the gospel, the church life.
42.
And cannot bring them to adoption.
Yeah.
See, it cannot bring them to adoption. Now I'm going to rest if you don't mind. Develop this quickly. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6 and let's develop it quickly and so we can get it out of the way. Okay, Paul says here, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to. In other words, he's telling me this gospel is not the perfection gospel. This could prepare you for that.
Yes.
So this gospel is perfection. Maturity, completion, finish. Is that right? So this cannot bring you to maturity, cannot bring you to completion, cannot finish the course. But this can prepare you, like I say, this is the baby. This is the milk. This is the meat. Working, right? Let's go on to perfection. Now laying again the foundation of repentance. Wait a minute, repentance is very important. Repentance of dead works. Faith towards God, faith towards God. It's important, I think. So what? Of the doctrine of what? Baptism. Not baptism. Baptism. It means water baptism and its formula. And a baptism of the Holy Ghost is eternal life. But what are I clear now? Well, we must leave that. Paul said, you're born again. You can't be born again anymore.
Amen.
Amen. You have the right formula. You've been born again. Amen. Leave it alone. There's more.
Amen.
Amen. Your repentance and the washing of the water and the word, that's good.
Amen.
But there's more.
That's right.
Because of the resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, and this we'll do if God permits. Is that right? So, Paul is telling them that, hey, look, there's something wrong. Now let's go to Hebrews 5 and 11. This is the sixth chapter. Paul, this is the rebuke. Alright? But the rebuke didn't start there. The rebuke started in the 11th verse of the fifth chapter. Like Hebrews 5 and 11. And look who the rebuke is about. Of whom there are many things. Maybe the 10th verse. That is Melchizedek he's talking about. Alright? Go on, the high priest of the order of Melchizedek. Go on. Of whom we have. Notice. Of whom we have many things to say. I'm going to say that this gospel has to do about him. I'm going to say this gospel has to do about his work. But it has to do just about him.
Amen.
Of whom we have many things to say and how to be unseen and get dull of hearing. And when the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. Be the first principles of the oracles of God and become such as have need of. When we start talking about him, we start talking about a different kind of life.
Amen.
See? We're talking about something completely different. Not milk, this is meat. Amen. And not a strong meat. And let us go. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of. So, don't get upset with me, please, but I would say they are unskillful in the word there. The seven churches, they are going to be not so skillful. You just have enough to keep them going. But this,
glory,
open book.
Yes.
Amen. You see, a man can take the word and tear up any system, any denomination. Amen. By the word.
Amen.
See, it's an open book. Alright, now. Let us go just a little further if you don't mind. This gospel. I want you to go to the book of. If you don't mind. I want to go to the book of. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You know where I'm going, 9th verse.
violence over the race, not violence.
But we know in parts, and we. So therefore, they weren't really, really able to take all the word and handle the people. They just know in part and they preached in part. Is that right? And it says here in the 10th verse, but men that which is. So this gospel has to be doing with that which is perfect. It's come. Then that which is in part shall be.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you.
This gospel produces the new birth. This gospel has nothing to do with new birth. This gospel has to claim you already in the body.
Amen.
Follow now. Let's just do a couple things so that we can I can kind of put it together. This gospel that healed them is the gospel that puts you in the body. This is the gospel that takes the body away.
Amen.
This gospel puts you in the body. This gospel positions you in the body.
Amen.
See, placing you in the body is not positioning you in the body. Amen. In the positioning you in the body is adoption.
Amen.
Amen. So this gospel puts you in the body. This gospel, amen, positions you in the body. This gospel takes the body away.
Amen.
Is that right? This makes an exodus, amen, from your ideas, your thoughts, and your system. Is that right? To seal you in the kingdom of God, this takes you to the kingdom of God.
Amen.
This gospel. Okay, let's look at it just a little bit more, if you don't mind. Let us go to the book of John 14:6 one more time. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It meant, this is what it's saying. It means there's a time when the gospel will be preached that will produce eternal life in the believer. But even though you have eternal life, that's one of the processes. It says, and no man can come unto the Father. Now, the prophet taught us, and that's what refresh your mind to see in scripture. He said when a child is born, he is placed under tutors and governors. Is that right?
Yes.
He cannot come to the Father because the Father does not accept any child that's undone.
Yes.
He says you can't come to the Father without coming to the tutors.
Amen.
And the tutors were seven church ages.
Amen.
So after tutorship, Father appears. The Father could not be in the seven church ages. The prophet of God said a pillar of fire has not been on the earth for 2,000 years.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
If it had been on the earth, if it had been in the seven church ages, you wouldn't see any star, it would be sunlight. It will be daytime, it can't be nighttime. Stars come up in the night. It will be reflected light. It's anointing. This is the anointing.
Amen.
Is that right? Therefore, for seven church ages, it's the way, the truth, and the life. The gospel that was preached can only produce the way, the truth, and the life. Is that right? What is the way? There's no way without the cross. What's the truth? There's no truth without the star. What is the life? There's baptism of the Holy Ghost in every age of a seal. Is that right? And that is. But there must come a time, amen, they must come to the Father.
Yes.
And they can only come to the Father in the time of adoption.
Amen.
Galatians 4 and 1. Now I say that an heir, as long as he is heir, little dreamer, as long as he is heir, child, as long as he hasn't come into perfection, or under the ministry of a prophet, or you can't receive it. As long as they charge, they want nothing from a servant. Lord, he be Lord of all. Lord, he be Lord of all. But it's under tutors and what are the tutors and governors? There are the seven stars that are right, and then there are the local pastors and fivefold ministry. They are placed under tutors and governors until the what appointed? Until the time appointed. There's an appointed time for the power.
Amen.
Is that right? He cannot come on the scene. He will not come on the scene until there's a son ready to be adopted.
Amen.
In the time of adoption, then that's a completely different gospel altogether.
Amen.
Purpose is different. Until the time appointed of the Father. Amen. Okay, now, let us go just a little bit further behind. Let us go back to our Gospel of Matthew 24. And Jesus went out. Okay, let's read down to the 14th. Let's go down to the 14th verse. I want to just kind of put this in play. And this gospel, now, if you read from the 3rd verse down to the 13th verse, the prophet said, what was he doing? What was Jesus doing? He was breaking the seals.
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yes.
He was breaking the seals.
Yes.
And right after the seals broke, he said, and this gospel. It means this gospel is a prophecy for the last day. It was a time after the seals were opened, there's a gospel that will come.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Amen.
It will be a universal gospel.
Amen.
Is that right? That will shine as a light in sight from the east to the west.
Amen.
It will be thoroughly vindicated.
Amen.
Is that right? It will go around the world to all nations.
Yeah.
Because there's a universal brain.
Yeah.
In the rapture.
Amen.
What's the placing of the scripture?
Amen.
This gospel. What gospel? I've just opened up the seals. And what's coming out from this, from the seal? Something that you need that the early church did not get. What did Paul say they did not get? Ephesians 1:17. Can we go through it? We just read from 13 to 16, and I showed you that the other day. And Paul is praying for them, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto them the spirit of wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of Him. Is that right? In the knowledge of Him. It will be at the time life and immortality be revealed, when Melchizedek is to be revealed, because that's what Paul said, I want to talk to you about. Is that right? But seeing you can't receive it. But there must come a time that somebody could receive it.
That's right.
Amen.
Now, stop right there. And let us go to the book of John 17:3. And I need to hurry. And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true. Wait a minute.
Amen.
How many believe Luther was born again? Thank you, Brother Ronnie. Nobody else
believes?
How many believe Oscar Casey was born? How many believe Wesley was born? So Wesley had eternal life.
Amen.
Was Wesley a Trinitarian?
Yes.
Did he know the only true God?
Yes.
But he was born.
Yes.
This is an end time scripture.
Amen.
See, this is an end time scripture to identify that the bride in the end time will have the knowledge of Him.
Amen.
He will be unveiled.
Amen.
He will be known.
Yes.
He will be proven that He's not a Trinitarian.
Yes.
He's not a oneness. He's not a Jesus only.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
He will be identified in His 1, it says, in whom you trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed. Is that right? This has nothing to do with sealing. This tells you. Now, I'm going to give you an example of what I mean. Let's take Adrian. When Adrian was a baby, was it still Adrian life? Wasn't it still Adrian? You all have doubts. Couldn't be that bad. Okay, now, after so many years, is it still Adrian? Is it still Adrian's life? What's the difference between Adrian life here as a baby and Adrian life here as a man? Is it not the same Adrian life? But this is Adrian life in a mature form.
Yes.
This is Adrian life in conception and growth.
Amen.
So when eternal life is spoken of sometimes, it's spoken of as being born again with a nature. But when it's spoken of here, it's speaking of this is eternal life, the mature life, the life ready to be adopted, the life where they know their Father.
Amen.
The life that's adopted life in a teaser. That they might know. So eternal life now moves from believing to knowing. Because they could not know much, they only know in part, so they preach in part.
Yes.
But now they know that they know.
Amen.
This is knowledge, wisdom, understanding, enlightenment.
Amen.
They might know. The only true God.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ whom thou hast.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. All right, let's go now to Jeremiah 24:7. Fulfilled in any age except the age that you're living in. I will give them a heart too. I'll give them a heart too. He's never been unveiled except in his evening time. And no one could come to the Father, even know the Father in such a way except in his hour. And I will give them a heart too. You know me. But I'm going to give my elect, my sons, amen, a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people. I will be there.
Amen.
In other words, Luther, Wesley, all believed in the word, but it was imputed to them.
Yes.
But not us. There's no imputed to us. There's no reason for ignorance. He has unveiled himself.
Amen.
Not only in his word, but in human flesh.
Amen.
And I will be their God, for they shall turn unto. Amen. In other words, amen. For seven church ages, he sealed them away. They didn't even know him properly. Is that right? Luther was a Trinitarian. Wesley was a Trinitarian. Pentecost was a Trinitarian. All one with Jesus only. But they are not. Something is going to turn them. Is that right? What is it going to turn them? Yeah. Malachi 4 is going to turn us.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
With the whole heart.
Amen.
With their whole heart.
Amen.
Is that right? Let's see if I can put a couple to it. Let's go to the book of well, mind is going. Let us go to the book of no, not. Let's just keep it. Let's go to Malachi 3:16. I'm sorry. And you see what I'm doing here is I'm chopping. I'm chopping to make it fit. Fine. Watch this very carefully. And they shall fear the Lord. And they that fear the Lord often speak one another of one to another, and the Lord hearken. Now this scripture is very important because it tells that the people who's going to talk about the Lord.
Amen.
What are they going to talk about the Lord? Did you see how he prayed for that Mexican baby? The baby was dead. In other words, such a ministry will be on the earth that it will start the believers talking.
Amen.
And they're not talking about what he has done, but what he's doing now. You see that picture of a pillar of fire? He said that's the same one that followed Moses. Do you hear what he said to Hattie Wright? In the hour when God is vindicating his presence and his prophets, there will be a lot of talk. I'm going to give you an example. I don't have it with me, but I did it. I have it. There was a woman who was working in a hospital, and the people that were there were speaking Hebrew, Brother Branham. The woman stepped up, she said, I know him. And he is no fake. He's a fine man. A good man.
Amen.
And she stood up for that prophet. And she came in the presence of the prophet Ranin one time. And the Lord told the prophet, tell her, I heard what you said to those men.
Amen.
She was talking about the Lord. Standing up for what he had done to his prophet. Often wanted, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord. How do you fear the Lord? You can't fear an invisible something. You fear his servant. That's why you have respect for God, respect his servants.
Amen.
It's alright. And when he vindicates that man, and you reverence and you respect that man, you're respecting God.
Amen.
It's alright. And it says here,
amen,
that. And that talk upon his name. It's going up now. And they shall be mine, say the Lord of hosts. In that day, notice now, in a day when there's such a stirring, I like to call it a refreshing.
Amen.
Amen. The refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. Not the presence of the Lord coming from heaven. From the presence of the Lord himself on earth to a man. It was refreshing. It was just like 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
See, Acts chapter 3, 19-21. In that day, when I make up my, is he taking off his jewels? And he showed you the Luther was a jewel? Matthew was a jewel? Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And all of them that was under that, they were all jewels. And he showed you how they have been made up, and this is the final making up to gather them up together. Amen, my jewels. And I will spare them. What is it? I'll bring pardon. I'll bring true justification.
Amen.
As a man spared his own son that served him. Now, 18 verse. Then they shall return from where? Each one of these that was sealed, they all went back into the system. They all went under an Aaronic order, a Levitical order, the prophet said. But look, they come back under a Melchizedek order now.
Amen.
He's introducing a new order, a Melchizedek order. Aaronic order, there's no kings and priests, they don't seem to have owned anything. But here now, scriptures, we're going back to the earth because we have kings and priests. Kings and priests comes under Judah.
That's right.
There's not under Levi. There's no king and priest under Levi. Under Judah. And we know our Lord came from Judah. And he is a king and a priest under the order of Melchizedek. Therefore, we are all returning back. Then shall he return and return. Now, watch carefully. Only after Malachi 4 comes, turns your heart back. Are you able to discern between the righteous? since we are all Indians. How many was the denomination in Hinduism?
Amen.
Wow. Not much. I thought everybody would have their hands up. Didn't you think that what you were in was righteousness?
Yes.
Did you not call wickedness righteousness? Did we not call where Satan, the Antichrist himself, had control righteousness? And now what happened after your heart was killed? The thing that you call righteous, now you call the devil.
Yes.
Is that right? What happened? Something came and restored your judgment back. Give you something to judge with.
Yes.
Yes. Serve between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that not. In other words, you will be able to tell who's trying to go to service without his will.
Yes. Yes.
Is that right? And all the nice pastor you had, and bishop, you say he's not a good man, and he gave all his money and he helped the people, and he did this, and he could turn around and say, that's doing God a service without his will.
Yes.
No more sympathy, judging by the word. What I want to show you is all of the scriptures I just read there could not happen under this.
That's right.
Couldn't happen. It had to take the opening of the seal that this gospel, 2 Thessalonians 1, starting with the 7th verse. And you, who are troubled, rest with us. As the seven church ages, rest with us. For when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven, that's not the coming of the Lord. The Lord Jesus being revealed must have a prophet in the land. First he reveals himself in heaven, then he reveals himself to the prophet. Is that right? That's not the coming of the Lord. That's a ministry. Shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Did that happen? And then this gospel came in. When you saw this in 63, then this gospel came into effect. Is that true? Let's go up. Take him in fire, play flame in fire, take in vengeance on them that know not God. Why? Because now he is revealed and they still say that's not him. When his presence is here,
amen,
doing the same thing he did when he was in Moses, when he was in Jesus, amen, doing the same works, and they said, no, that's not him. Our God is God.
Yep.
Our Baptist is God. Our Methodist is God. Our Baptist Pentecostal God. And this is what you have. Yeah, that's deception. That's false prophet. That's not our God. Did they deny? Did they know that God? After he thoroughly revealed himself? That know not God and obey not. What gospel? What gospel will he hold them accountable for? This gospel.
Amen.
Not that gospel.
Yes.
This gospel.
Amen.
This gospel that unveils him. This gospel that reveals him.
Yes,
sir. See? And what? Obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What? Whom shall you, whom he shall punish with the destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of his power, and bosom. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony, which is false gospel, among you was believed in. Well, that's if Paul wrote it, but it remained a prophecy for the last days. So, now what do I want to achieve in this? This is what I'd like to achieve. Ephesians 1:17 one more time. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give you this ministry. They give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge of him, which is the unveiling of God through the Son of Man, that the eyes of your understanding be. In other words, the eyes of understanding to be enlightened to what the Father's real purpose is was not given for seven church ages. Now listen, if you could remember this. Interpretation stresses the meaning behind a word or a thought. interpretation stresses the meaning of what is meant in a written word or thought. But exposition, probably not proper of an exposition of 17 teachers, exposition stresses the purpose behind it. Why it was written, what it wants to achieve, what its purpose behind it. So therefore, this gospel is interpretation, yes, but the heart of it is exposition. In other words, it's to show you the purpose behind the whole plan of redemption. It's to show you what was in the heart of God, what He wants to achieve. He said He didn't want to give you eternal life. He wants to bring into His oneness of mind. So therefore, this scripture has to do with the mind, enlightenment, understanding. This is Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind that was in Christ be in you. This couldn't bring the mind. This could not bring the mind of God. This is not the head. This has to do with the work of God at Calvary.
Yeah.
See, this has to do with His purpose behind Calvary. What He wants to achieve. Enlightenment. See that? Your understanding may be enlightened. That even whatever we know, what is the hope of His calling, you will know what He really wants to achieve.
Amen.
What's His purpose? And what the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, 19 verse. And what is the exceeding, now let's hear this. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power.
Amen.
Now I want you to notice, if I'm telling you the right thing, it means the power that He's talking about is not this power. We want to know the power that He wants to work with us. When He wrought Christ, when He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, He didn't raise anybody from the dead. He just gave them the nature to seal them. But there's a power that must come by this gospel that will work, that can work in Christ. We're not quickening your feet, but we're quickening your body. Immortality. When He raised up Christ from the dead, what power is that? The power of the resurrection.
Amen.
The power to change from mortal to immortal, from corruption to incorruption.
Yeah.
And He will not do that if the mind is not right.
Amen.
You must come with the right mind, because the Father wants to have oneness with you.
Amen.
They might be one like you and I are one.
Yes, sir.
This gospel. This gospel. And set Him at His own right hand. Notice, not only change your body, but to positionally place you in the kingdom.
Amen. Yes, sir.
This gospel is not only to change your mind, it's not only to change your body, it's not only to come to know your God and have His mind one with Him, but to positionally place you, not in the body, but in the kingdom.
Yes. Amen.
Instead of His own right hand, heavenly places. If He did it for Him, brought it in Christ, He'll walk it in you.
Yes, sir.
Are far above all principality and power, and might and dominion, that every name and His name, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. 22nd verse. And have put all things under His. If He put it under His feet, He's putting it under your feet.
Amen.
You will not have less than Him. You are going to have the same with Him. Joint heirs with Christ. When this gospel has come. If it has come, this is what you must water with your prayer. This is what you must water with your preaching. Anything less than this is not this gospel. It's that gospel. See, I'm going to show you the sin of it. When this comes into that.
Hey.
Yeah.
It becomes a problem. Because the prophet preached here and he preached here.
Yes.
And if you can't rightly divide between this and that, you can be preaching to your people exactly quotes of the prophet.
Yes.
Preach sin and don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
See? Under his feet and gave him He cared over all things, cared about it and the church. Now, let's go to my notes and I'm going to try to close. 2 Peter 1:11 will show you the purpose of the ministry. Second Peter 1:11 says, and I keep putting scripture on you, brother, but I'm sorry for that. Let us take our Bibles before we give this guy too much word. Alright? Let us go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to show you something here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read here the second verse. Now watch this carefully. Look at Paul's gospel. And I, brethren, when I came unto your king, for I am determined to know nothing, to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him. Paul is not saying that is all I know. Paul is saying all I want to know among you is Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, and that he is crucified, resurrected. That's what I want to know. Everybody tried to preach what Paul for seven church ages. If you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, somebody has to preach to you Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Messiah, that he died for your sins, that he resurrected for your justification. Is that right? And if you believe that, then the light of the gospel comes to you to confirm your faith, and that gives you the Holy Ghost. That's the way, the truth, and the life. That was the gospel. Let's see if we can pick that up again. But that is all that Paul wants to preach. From 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross, what is the cross? It's to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross for seven churches is the power of the cross. And I mean, it's the power of God. But if you preach the power, if you preach the cross today, you are not preaching this gospel. You can get them to the cross. Amen. That's fine. But if you don't get them to this gospel, amen, they are still lost.
Amen.
So now I want to just introduce to you what is end time evangelism. End time evangelism is when you have nominal Christians who are already believing the cross. Is that right? You're not bringing the cross to them again. You're not bringing Jesus Christ dead, buried, and resurrected. You're bringing Jesus Christ reproduced in the form of a prophet in the end time, doing the same things he did like 2,000 years ago.
Yes? That's what, amen.
End time evangelism is to identify Jesus Christ reproduced in human flesh.
Amen.
Doing the same ministry like he did 2,000 years ago. That's the end time seed sign.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's the end time seed that will bring about the rapture.
Yeah.
Another end time seed sign comes in the form of a prophet overload.
Amen.
A true sign of overlook.
Amen.
Because the seed sign is reproduced in a man.
Yes.
Is that right? And it waved over you, not his life, but the life of the Son of God.
Amen.
And the ministry of the Son of God reproduced.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. Amen. Showing you that what the cross supposed to produce has reproduced itself.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? That is why. right now in the book of First. If you don't mind, let me just do it quickly. The book of 1 Corinthians 15. I'll just do two more of these for you, and I can show you the gospel, this gospel, what was preached, and I want to show you what this gospel is all about. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you, the gospel which I preach, would you not know what Paul gospel was? Not the one he wrote, the one he preached, what he wrote, there are things he wrote he never preached. He just wrote it. So Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, and you are, by which also ye are saved. Paul said, my gospel, you are saved, if ye continue in memory that I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. What I want to know is gospel. For I deliver unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ must be obtained, not reproduce himself, died. And how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That gospel can't take you away. It can only put you in the body and let you wait until something comes again. Amen. Amen. That is going to bring a special kind of power. Not the power that puts on you. Amen. Your lips and your teeth, your teeth. Yeah. But the power that puts on your mortal body.
Amen. Amen.
But before that, you're going to put on your mind.
Amen.
Your eyes will put on your mind. According to the scriptures, follow. Oh yeah, and that he was buried, and that he rose again. Is that dead, burial, resurrection? They tell you according to the scriptures, fulfills. And that he was seen of Cephas, and of them that dwell, that he was resurrected from the dead. Amen. Let us go to the book of Luke. Luke 24 and 46. And I say unto them, and said unto them, thus it is written that Christ, it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. This is the scripture now. Can you go on? And that repentance, Jesus is telling them what it is that he wants done. That repentance or remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at. That's what this commission. Go preach, I died, buried, rose according to the scriptures, and that repentance and remission of sin shall be preached in his name. Now my point is, what is the commission for this gospel? Now right, what it is that must be achieved in the end time evangelism? See? Now, you know, sometimes we use words and sometimes we don't analyze the words. We call this the open book gospel, right?
Yes.
Is that right? This is the open book. The book has been sealed. Now it's open. Yeah. And we say that. But if I tell you, this must be the closed book gospel, you might get upset with me. Is that right? This is the closed book. This is not dealing with enlightenment of the mind. This is dealing with the redemption of the soul.
Yeah.
Is that right? Amen. So now, I'm just going to do this quickly. I'm going to look at the seals and see where we are heading. Wow, sorry. Israel just went out. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Okay? 13. This is the Holy Spirit. No denomination. First 20 years. Probably call it the Christian era. Is that right? The Christian era. You type that on your computer. First 20 years. No denomination. First age, did they lose truth or gain truth? They lost. Second age, lost or gain? Lost. The four stages of the Roman bomb. Third age, lost or gain? Lost. Fourth age, lost or gain? Lost. Four stages of the bomb. I shall restore.
Yes, sir.
First age, reform. Second, that's Wesley, reform. Pentecost, reform. Now I'm doing this for purpose. How many stages? Luther read the Pentecost. Three. How many? One, two, three. Four lost. We have not come back to restoration yet.
Yeah.
It's alright. Luther read the Pentecost. So what's going to bring us back here? Malachi 4.
Yes.
It's alright. Now I'm going to show you this. Malachi 4 cannot teach if the book is closed. So the seventh angel revealed the first six seals. And then when he reveals the first seal, he says, come out of her, my people. There's nowhere to go on here. Agree? So the first six seals brings the church back under the Holy Spirit like it was here. And now I can remove all of this. That which was here is now restored here. Okay, now let's go to the book of Luke 18:8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The Son of Man is the seventh seal.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
He wants to find faith on the earth because he is coming with perfect faith. But he cannot produce perfect faith until he comes back to the faith he started in it.
Yes.
So Malachi 4 restores back the faith of the fathers.
Yes.
This faith, Malachi saw. But this faith does not have the mind of Christ. It does not have Mark 11:23.
Yes.
It does not have John 14:12. It does not have manifested sons of God. Is that right? It does not have it. It means there must be a gospel to bring it.
Yes.
A gospel that it is not
have. Absolutely.
When we talk about Malachi 4 restoring the heart of the fathers, we've got to be careful.
Hey.
Let us look at that. We must go to the faith of the apostolic fathers.
Amen.
Now let's look at the faith of the apostolic fathers. Did their faith in the word, in the doctrine of the word, start on the day of Pentecost? No. Who brought the faith and set the faith of the early church? Peter? No. Who? A man with a pillar of fire called Paul. In 1 Corinthians 14:37, I believe it is. You can try that, but I'm not sure. Let's see if we hit the mark. If any man thinks himself to be a, that means if Peter thinks he's a prophet, if John thinks he's a prophet, if James thinks he's a prophet, if any man thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual of the gifts, let him acknowledge the things that. Who set the face of the Father, Paul? That's why every messenger goes back to their father teaching, Paul.
Yes.
Is that right? But I want you to know there was a time that the seventh angel looked to Paul. Is that right?
Yes.
But then, when this pillar of fire comes and moves him from a church to the son of
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
Amen. Paul.
Glory.
Says, I say unto you, not the Lord.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Mm.
And man of the divorce, the covenant of God say, if God could tell Paul that,
yes.
Amen. How much more I?
Okay.
Amen. I say unto you,
glory.
Please not commit me.
Glory.
No longer on Paul, but what he is telling.
Amen.
Tell him this.
Yes.
Never do it again. If any man thinks himself to be a prophet who is spiritual, let him anoint the things I write unto you are commandments of the Lord.
Amen.
Apostolic faith was Paul speak. Anybody ever seen Paul speak the word? Was Paul adopted? There's a sword Paul in Paul's hand.
Amen.
I don't know about you, you can go back to the apostolic fathers. Is that right? That's fine. Let me go back to Son of Man. Where did I see Son of Man? Eden.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
You had two restoration back to back. He must restore your heart to the apostolic fathers. Is that right? And that is only so that he can take you into restoration back to Eden.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
And beyond. Very close up, I call things. I don't have time to prove them. Maybe you could the notes and you can scroll them down. But I'll say that quickly. Brother Branham, I hope many people do this on Sunday. Brother Branham had threefold ministry. I'm going to try to do that quickly. Brother Branham was Revelation 3:14, Church Age Messenger. He's not interested in individual repenting. He's not. He's a Church Age Messenger. He doesn't want the individual to leave their church. When they come out under 3:14, he sends them back. He says, you will be a light in your church. He doesn't want to split the church up. He wants the entire church to repent.
Amen.
Is that right? 1962, they don't want to repent present state of his ministry. They keep to themselves, teachers have an H&R, the church itself will not repent. Now he moves from 3:14 to 10:7. 10:7 is the call, the elect out, because the church itself doesn't want to repent. So he couldn't call them out until he opened the first six seals. Under the first seal, the last words under the first seal, come out of her, my people. Is that right?
Yeah.
10:7 has no specific ministry, but he takes all the loose ends that was not clearly revealed in the seven church age messenger. All the lost things, the loose ends, and he reveals it. Is that right? That calls you out. When you come out, now you're under Malachi 4. 5 and 6. He can teach you now. You can't teach people while you're living in somebody else's house. You can't, right? You probably can't teach you while you're in baptism, medicine, Pentecostal. You come to a joint meeting 5 and you go back to your house.
Yes.
But when he comes out, now Malachi 4 can turn you off.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is that right?
Yes.
Amen. Now Malachi 4 does two things. He turns your heart back, but he also, I know what you're asking, did Revelation 10:7 reveal the seventh seal? He did. In part. He revealed in part. Some parts of the seventh seal is not known. One of the parts that is not known is the coming of the Lord.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. Okay, so now, I'm just trying to close this up so you can see why I want to stretch this gospel. The first sixth seal calls you out. So Malachi 4 can bring you to this faith. But Malachi 4 has a second commission. He not only turns your heart back to the apostolic father, but he also reveals the seven thunders, which lies under the seventh seal, which I am saying is this gospel. The bride is caught up under the mystery of the seventh seal. That's the first thing.
Oh God, help us.
many remember the token message? The token come in existence in the evening time. Is that right? Then I ask you the question. Did the new word come into existence in the evening time? Well, if it comes into existence in the evening time, then there must be something new.
Yes.
Sometimes I talk like this, but to provoke, because you find in teaching, if I can incite you in some way, make you laugh, make you angry, provoke you, you remember. You remember what that man who upset you said.
Yes.
Is that right? Repetition leaves impression, impression leaves memory. I'll say it over and over. So in the token, he just brought a new revelation. He brought a new word, right? Is that right? Now we know that now we the new word. He brought the new word to us. Right? Under what seal? And why would I need? Why would I need the new birth when they've all been born again?
Yes, sir.
And still. You see, if you don't look at it carefully, this gospel is not so much bringing a lot of things, but explaining a lot of things.
Amen.
Things we didn't understand.
Amen.
The token has always been here.
Yes, sir.
Luther had the token. Where do you have? What is the token? It's the life of God, the seed.
Amen.
Is that right? But every one of these ages, there was blood on the throne.
Yes.
There was blood on the throne, but in the last age, there's no blood, but yet there's a bright age.
Hey.
And when there's no blood, he comes down.
Yes.
Looking for blood.
Amen.
Yeah.
Is that right? And therefore, now he's telling you, when he sees the seed, the gene, his own life, his glory.
Amen.
He wasn't looking for it here because they had blood to answer for them up there.
Yeah.
But when he got on the seat, it's all right, and he comes down,
yeah,
he's looking for that life.
Amen. Yes,
sir. He's not telling you that something new, he's trying to reveal to you, amen, what this spoken has always been about.
Yeah.
It's a covenant.
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
He's revealing it. And by revealing the token, he's trying to tell you, you have been identified with your sacrifice. That is how you know you're not a Baptist or Methodist. Why? Because this life will only display this revealed word.
Amen.
And this revealed word is nothing more than the life of God expressed, the mind of God expressed, to bring you into oneness.
Amen.
The sacrifice, the blood. Is that right? The life, the word displayed is a covenant people.
Wonderful.
Did he bring anything new? Because there is no birth under this seventh seal. Don't you think no token came under there? The token came down to look for a token.
Yeah.
But he's not bringing new birth. He is coming for them that are born again.
Amen.
Second. For seven church ages. The seven church ages, God gave them gifts and blessings. He allowed them to have altar calls, which Brother Bram said is a heathen trait. Only heathen prostrate at an altar. I notice even in the message churches, when they have message conventions, with all message church, most time the ministries don't feel it's successful until first they have an altar call. Rabbi said an altar call is a healing trait. It's not a Christian trait. What is he doing? He's trying to move you from that which is in part that he permitted, like he permitted Paul. He permitted Moses. Here is not permitted. Here is the mind of the Lord.
Yes.
He begins to show you in this gospel here, that gospel here, they allowed you to lay hands on the sick. Laying hands in Matthew 16 You see, it's in red letters. It was permitted because of the tradition of the Jews. But laying hands on the sick is not a sign of faith.
Amen.
It is a Jewish tradition. Mark 16:16 is not to operate in a local church. Brother Bram said Mark 16:16 is a missionary scripture. It means only in the mission field and evangelism you're going to find poison and scorpion and snake.
Yes.
But anybody ever found any of that in the church? He says Malachi 4 is the chorus of the old tradition. It means this gospel has no tradition, no creed, no dogma. It is a pure, unadulterated kind of God.
Amen. Yes.
Under this gospel, Rabbi said the gift is to keep the church clean.
Yes.
It's alright. Then he turns around and said, a day will come when the gifts will go out.
Yes.
So I can find a place and read some of these things before. I just want to read them for you so you can see that I'm not going off my rockers. Going up more. Okay, let's see. Okay, yeah. Brother Graham doesn't believe in an altar. I do believe in an altar. Like, you know, you have an altar right here, the park. At the church, but altars was not the place where people come to pray. There was never an altar call made in any time in the Bible. There's no such thing. And I want to bring you next week the history of the early church. That's the reason there are no altars in the church, because falling posture on an altar is a pagan form of worship and is not a Christian idea at all. I don't find faith like that in Israel. That's what the Gentile ought to be. But we have to fall back to our tradition, laying on of hands and so forth. That's what it takes. Voila. Stop right here. That's their ministry. But now, if you bear with me a moment, I believe that the higher way to reach Christians than laying on of hands. Now, in these handkerchiefs I've had more success with the handkerchiefs, I guess, than anything else, especially with the American people and so forth. Where did they ever got that? That's just a Jewish tradition. I'm trying to get you to believe the Gentile way of it. But you said these people are their followers. He said, now, that's great faith. I haven't found faith out of all of Israel. Now we want to break a faith. We want to run higher levels. Amen. Is it not? The Lord Jesus wants us to believe, the shepherd. I'm trying to get you to believe in the higher order, to accept it without the laying on of hands.
Amen.
Amen. Possessing the ministry of this discernment and so forth, it'll soon end now. Amen. It'll always be there, but it'll soon end this cause. They're going to something greater. Wow. The ministry of the servant is now leaving, and I'm stepping into a higher ministry of speaking the word.
Yes.
Amen. After this, Jesus came and called, he said, I was just inspired to speak them words and say some glorious thing, and all the gifts that in the church will just be set aside on the mantle as it was, and the Holy Spirit himself will take the word in such a control of divine love until the sick will be healed, the blind will see, the lame will walk, without laying hands on them. Just be one great unity. Now when that which is spoken has come, that which in part shall be done away with. All these things of jumping up and down like kids, trying to talk in tongues, and these other things. Amen. When that which is spoken has come, we have today by help of God, a perfect interpretation, by the word, by divine vindication. Then that which is in part is done away with. When I was a child, I spoke with a child. Now, I've got all of this. I just wanted to let you see where I want to separate this gospel and that gospel. We can say we in this gospel. But we notice we still encourage our people to come up and lay hands on it. We still encourage an altar call. You say, Brother Tony, we still encourage people to look for the gifts. You say, Brother Tony, explain that to me, tradition. The highest and most powerful part of the ministry is the preaching of the word.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, the preaching of the word. You can bind Satan. You can produce faith coming by hearing.
Amen.
Yes, at the preaching of the word, our people sit still. They are waiting to get something from God at the end of the preaching when somebody will call an altar call on their hands on them.
Amen. The word is going forth.
You can say, trust me, Lord. I've seen it. Amen. That's the most powerful part of the ministry, the word. this gospel that we are talking about is a gospel. He said, I'm sorry, what about my people? I say this. If they come up to pray, you pray for them and meet them where they are. But you teach them what God says their feet should be.
Amen.
You say, what about Mark 16:16? It does not belong in the local church. It belongs in the missionary field and the evangelistic field.
Amen.
These men who evangelize out there, they have a right to use Mark 16. But a local pastor, a local church has been around for 40 years.
Amen.
We are in tradition.
Amen.
And you say, that's nothing wrong with it. It becomes sin. When you miss the mark, it becomes sin. When you encourage the gifts, because we have moved from gifts and blessings to position and authority.
Amen.
From gifts and blessing to position and authority. You are a son of God.
Amen.
You're called, you're chosen, you're elect.
Amen.
I'm closing with these statements. In the beginning of the news, the very first news, I'm closing with this. In the book of Jude, it said, beloved, I give all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. That's what he's telling you. I want you to contend for this faith that was given to Adam. I want you, the faith that was given by the Son of Man today, that's what I want you to contend for. Not this. It says here, for there are certain men trapped in unaware, who before all ordained to this condemnation of ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now what's the warning? I therefore put you in remembrance. Though he once knew how that the Lord saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. I want you to notice the words.
Amen.
He saved them under Moses, a prophet with a pillar of fire and three words. They came out under Moses in the Exodus, and they were saying, we are the called, we are the chosen, we are the elect. Amen. We are not like Egypt harlots. We are not like the denominational system. They never went back to denomination. They never went back to Egypt. They died with dressing the way Moses said. They died, amen, with keeping COD. They died by living what Moses said. And message features buried them. And they never made it. They died from unbelief. Why unbelief? Because we brought our people up to believe this. Since we come out of denomination, we are called, we are chosen, we are the elect. They are denomination, they are the harlot. That's not where the danger is.
Yeah.
The danger of deception is within the message.
Yeah.
Not being able to
recognize
3:14:10:7 Malachi 4 and Son of Man. They are not the same. Their purposes are different.
Amen.
And you can quote something the prophet said, and it be right that he said it, but wrong in where it's placed.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
In a church. In closing, let me say, one in a million made it. Because we've taught our people, they are believers because they dress the way COD said. They keep church the way COD, and they believe by faith. Now watch carefully. They believe with all their heart, they believe this. They believe the prophet. And they believe the message. If you ask anyone who died in Moses' day, did you believe Moses? Well, why do you think I'm in the camp? Do you believe the message? Why do you think I dress this way? I don't dress, you know what, I don't keep my house the way the world keeps it. I have a holy life. So they believe the prophet and the message, and they are holy. And they believe this means that you are elect. See, now you don't need revelation. You don't need faith. The faith to believe that Moses, a prophet, does not come by hearing. God produced that by power.
Yeah.
Moses. You can believe that. Have faith in the prophet and the message. And they died. You still have them, but so what's the evidence? It's not believing the prophet and the message, it's understanding. It's revelation.
Amen.
There's a ministry of certain men crept in this message that are creating a havoc in the people's heart, and they put them at rest. You are called out, you are elect, you are chosen because you come out from denomination. You don't need these deep things. Just love the Lord. You can't love the Lord without wanting to please Him, and you can't please Him without His will, and you can't have His will without revelation. Therefore, you cannot love the Lord unless you know His will.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
The evidence that you are elect is not that you believe the prophet and message and you live right. It's whether or not you understand.
Hallelujah.
Spiritual understanding of your gospel.
Amen.
Of this gospel. I know that's a hard way to end, but I'll end with a story. There was one time, a young boy. I think I'm keeping somebody back up from the beginning. There was this one boy. He had got into a boat to grace. And he got into that boat and fell asleep. And there was this old man that came and went along the rocks where the boat was and began to throw rocks behind the boat. And the boy got up, looked up, and he saw this guy throwing rocks at him. You know, creating waves on the boat, from the back of the boat. And he said to himself, what's wrong with this man? I never did him anything. I love the Lord. I just came out here to pray. I just came out here to meditate. And this man just throwing rocks at me. And the guy just kept on throwing rocks. Until eventually the boy, came out of the boat. Walked up and said, what did I ever do to you? Why are you throwing these rocks at me, these things? And the old man said, son, he said, you know, you were so caught up in what I was doing to you, you forgot that that boat had drifted out so deep. If I hadn't thrown those rocks, the boat would never have come back in showing you to come out here for us to talk. So it is in preaching. These things seem like it throw rocks at ministry. But at the end of it all is that you and I can meet together and talk about it. The God and the goodness. I pray that something will be said to inspire you to move from complacency. That I believe the prophet and message, I live right. To seek a spiritual understanding of what this seventh seal is, what this seventh thunder is, what is our gospel. God bless you, God keep you.
Amen.